But first, Carrie Brownstein. You may recognize her from the comedy show Portlandia. She's also one of the founding members of the band Slater Kinney. When the trio of two guitarists and a drummer formed in the mid-90s, they were a powerhouse from the start. They would eventually become one of the most influential bands from that era. Slater Kinney has evolved since the 90s and just released their ninth studio album, The Center Won't Hold. It still features Carrie's fierce guitar riffs, Corin Tucker's commanding vocals, and Janet Weiss's signature drumming. While the album contains Slater Kinney's essential ingredients, it was produced by musician Annie Clark, better known as St. Vincent. Clark added a new industrial and electronic sound to the band. But that's not all that's changed. Just after the record's release, Weiss left the group after 20 years as their drummer. Beta's Maureen McCollum caught up with Carrie Brownstein. They talked about life after Janet and the band's musical evolution.
We've been a band for 25 years. Corin Tucker and I started this band way back in 1994 when we were still in college in Olympia, Washington. And when you start out, I think very few musicians imagine themselves 1, 5, 10 years down the road, let alone, you know, over 2 decades. I think a goal with every record, every transition has been to challenge ourselves to do something different, to defy expectations. And then I think eventually we just reached a place where, you know, we just want to set the bar higher for ourselves and to, you know, have a sense of freedom. And when you finally get to making your ninth studio album, which we just did, it really felt like, what else do we have to prove? Our goal is to make music that doesn't sound like the last thing we did and to still enjoy it, to come at it with a sense of gratitude, and always to do it with a sense of integrity and passion and to need it, I think, as much as the fans do, because, you know, we understand that people want to feel seen and heard in our songs, and I think we need to approach it with that same kind of urgency and that same sense of wanting to connect and belong within the context of music. So yeah, that's kind of been our journey, and we're sometimes as surprised as anyone that we're still making music, but we don't take it for granted at all.
And I would say that with this new album, with The Center Won't Hold, I mean, yeah, musically the sound is completely different, but your message and your lyrics are still so on course with who you are as a band. I mean, you talked about songs about longing, talking about technology, the daily grind, working through dark times. So while it might sound sonically different, like, it's still you as a band, and I still hear you, and I still appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think fundamentally this is a band that's always merged the political and the personal. That's a very sort of popular idea right now, but it's one we've been doing for a long time. I mean, a lot of other artists have as well, but, you know, when we were sort of surveying the political landscape, political and cultural landscape, obviously there's a sense of tumultuousness and fractiousness, but we wanted to couch that in more personal narrative and to really speak to how chaos and anger and trauma and despair has an effect on the body, specifically the female body and the female psyche. So I think a lot of this record is an exploration of that.
She stood up for us and she testified. Me, to my body, cried out when she spoke those lines.
What's nice about when you're songwriting is you're only ever songwriting as who you are in the present day. So as you change and grow and age, you know, your perspective on things shifts. And so the stories also reveal themselves in new ways and stretch out in kind of new patterns. So I think it's not uncommon to kind of go back and wrestle with the same ideas, because each time you return to that struggle, you're approaching it differently. And that's kind of the nice thing about longevity is you get to retool things.
Can you talk about the musical inspiration on this album, too? Obviously, you worked with Annie Clark or St. Vincent, who produced this album. So can you talk about how she pushed you musically?
Yeah, I think, it started with just a change in methodology where Corin was up in Portland and I was down in Los Angeles. And because we were not always writing in the same room, although we did sometimes, we were sending ideas back and forth on our computers and writing as much on synthesizers and keyboards as we were on guitar. So the demos already had a different sonic palette. And then Annie and us talked a lot about the sounds that were kind of corrosive and ugly and kind of creating a paradox where you had some grittier sounds paired with a lot of melody so that you were... those two worlds were kind of existing simultaneously. And, Corin was listening to a lot of Depeche Mode. I was listening to a lot of Ministry and Nine Inch Nails. And I think for Annie, especially Nine Inch Nails, that's a vernacular that she really embraces. I think we really saw the studio as an instrument in and of itself. So it became, an act of discovery and not just documentation, which was a little new for us. Really, just each song is a planet. Each song was just something that we could completely immerse ourselves in one at a time, and that was something that Annie, aka St. Vincent, really encouraged from us, was just some maximalism and, just a lot of imagination applied to each individual track.
Yeah, it almost has like this dystopian sound.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I think thematically, we were circling around that sense of, dystopian ideas and, so I think we wanted to match that sonically with things feeling tense and dire. And then again, pairing that with choruses that really were bright so that it didn't feel like a cynical record. I think cynicism is kind of its own form of toxicity. So we wanted glimmers of hope throughout.
I want to ask you what your take is on the current state of music. And I'm looking at some acts that you've been associated with over your career with Sleater-Kinney. So, okay, we can look at Lizzo, who opened for you last time you all played in Wisconsin. She's experiencing this meteoric rise. Another band you're somewhat associated with, Bikini Kill, they reunited this year. They're killing it. How are you processing musically what's going on right now, and how does Sleater-Kinney fit into that?
I think I usually process things as a fan. I think we're in a great time for music. It's accessible, it's copious, it is genre bending and very fluid, and it just feels like it has a powerful place right now. And certainly there's more like diversity of artists and genres, and that's really great. And I don't know how Sleater-Kinney fits into that landscape. I guess that's not really for me to determine. I think that's for other people to figure out, but we do what we do, and hopefully people like it.
I have to ask about some of the transitions within the band. Obviously, Janet Weiss left. You've picked up Angie Boylan as a new drummer. Can you talk a little bit about, like, working with a new drummer? Maybe tell us a little more about Angie. Is that going to change the sound of Sleater-Kinney?
Well, I mean, we've never played these songs live, so I don't think that's going to be, it's not like, the songs from the Centerworld Hold have sort of been out in the world live. I think for us, it's just, you know, we're just looking forward to the future. I mean, we were, you know, sad that Janet left, and we also feel like we wanted to continue, that we really feel like it's a privilege to play in this band. And I think Angie's a really great drummer. I think it's just about wanting to play the songs. And we played a show in Raleigh, and the response was great. For us, it's just about chemistry on stage and enjoying it. And in the live context, I think it all kind of, all the disparate sounds on each record, you know, the difference between like the Hot Rock and Dig Me Out is massive. The difference between The Woods and All Hands on The Bad One is massive. So there's always been these variations between albums, but it's in the live show that it kind of all comes together under the umbrella of Sleater-Kinney. And for us, it's just important to have a really powerful show and connect with the audience. And Angie's a great drummer. She has a lot of athleticism and great feel. And I think it's a lot of fun.
That was Beta's Maureen McCollum with Carrie Brownstein, one of the founding members of the band Sleater-Kinney. She's talking about their album, The Center Won't Hold. Find out more about Carrie at wpr.org/beta.
The short story works by different rules. That only takes one sitting to read. And a lot of the best short stories end with a final twist of the knife. And I do like that. I do like the ugly jolt of that final twist.
Author Joe Hill joins us to talk about his short story collection, Full Throttle. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.